Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Thank you, worship team, for leading us and for everybody else being here. If you're of that younger persuasion, you're welcome to head to Children's Church and enjoy that time. Well, happy early Valentine's Day. Maybe you have some special plans. Hopefully you do. I'm sorry I didn't wear red this morning. I think I missed that. But I'm glad that many of you are celebrating this upcoming holiday. And we've been in this series called 24/7 in 24, and we've been looking at this idea of how do we live out the Christian faith, how do we live our Christian walk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. It's actually very possible. And as we look at the words that Paul said to the church in Philippi, he gave us those marching instructions. So do we do this perfectly all day, every day? No. But is there this pursuit in our lives? Yes, there should be, okay? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. And for those of you visiting us online as well, it's good to see you. If you're here in person, then I love to actually see people and talk with them. I know we live in a different age where a lot of things happen online, but we want to know you either way, whichever way you're visiting today. And so to start this out, you know, this passage, you look in Philippians chapter 2, and it's really about Christ's example of humility and how, you know, we live that out, how we take joy in our experience in life and what that looks like. And I kept thinking as I was looking at the text this week about, does anybody remember Light Brights? Light Brights, okay, I got some shaking of heads. If you're younger than a millennial, you're probably like, what? What is that? So one of the greatest inventions ever made. if you don't, it was created in 1967, and it came in right at number 55 of Time Magazine's 100 Greatest Toys of All Time. And of that list, I would have to agree with the Light Bright. It was nothing special. It was a light bulb inside of a plastic box, and it had all these little, you know, pegs that you can put these colored plastic pieces in. Really nothing revolutionary, but very influential in its idea. And in fact, you could get these pieces of paper you could put over it, and you could put those pegs in it, and by the time you were done with your creation, you could come back at a later time and make exactly the same thing, whatever your pattern, whatever your design was. And so it continued to make me think of the fact that God empowers through us, through the Holy Spirit in our lives, to accomplish his will and his work. And he wants us to take delight and joy in that. And so like a little kid who's plugging in those little pieces into the Light Bright, is taking joy in that creation and seeing those colors coming through those plastic pegs, God's placed us in such a way, in the time that he has, for the rest of the world to be able to see that representation, that Light Bright, those pieces being lit up on that simple plastic box of our life. Does that make you feel a little bit easier about what our role is in the world? What the faith that we have is really resting on God and what he's doing, and all we have to do is go, hey, I'm just one of those little plastic pegs in the box, okay? So let's play our role in that as we walk through that. And so we'll be in Philippians chapter 2. And again, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. You can grab that. If you don't have one at home, you can take that home. Maybe you have it on your phone today too, and that's all right as well. And so the first fill in the blank is just starting well. Starting well. And so we'll start in verse 12 of chapter 2, and it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And this is probably one of the more difficult verses in the Bible because Paul's going to the church in Philippi, you should be examining your faith. You should be asking those difficult questions. Do I really believe in what I say I believe? And it's kind of like maybe you've had little children before. We're right in that phase of life right now. So we have a 1, 4, and a 7-year-old. So, luckily it hasn't happened yet, but we have rules set, right? So you can have dessert after a meal, right? But sometimes it happens where somebody sneaks in. We have the desserts up high. So it removes the temptation. Bryce was talking about that earlier today as well. So, but maybe you've been in that scenario before yourself where, but the cookies are right in a jar, and they're right on the counter, so I can go and I can get those whenever I want. But Paul says here, hey, there's this way that our lives should look like, that that if salvation has taken place in our lives, we've put our faith and trust in Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us, taking on all of our sin and all of our punishment, then we can walk in a way that's not going, okay, I'm going to be this way at church, and then I'm going to be this way at school, and then I'm going to be this way at home. And that's how the world operates, right? But that's not, for us as believers, how we're supposed to operate, because he says here, but much more in my absence. So even more, he's like, Paul's like, I'm not even there, if I don't even know what's going on in your lives, I would like to think that you are living out your faith even in an even greater way. What would that look like if that was our expectation for our kids? You know, we're like, hey, yeah, don't get the cookies out, but even more than that, like, don't even think about it. And they're like, oh, wait, it's too late. I'm already thinking about it, right? So we should expect maybe this greater way of walking. He uses this word here, work out. In the Greek, it's the word katakaresme, and it just means to do that from which results from something. So if there's something already present in our lives, that's just going to be the outflow of it. Sometimes we wonder, you know, or at times we wonder, maybe others have struggled with, like, you know, am I really following God? Do I really belong to him? Well, our lives should exemplify that in some ways, right? So when we read this text, Paul's just saying, like, think about it, like work it out. Are you really living this life that reflects and honors God? And how should we do that? Well, he used these two other words for fear and trembling. It's the word phobos, fear, which just means terror or reverence. We see that throughout the New Testament. And the word for trembling, quaking or shaking. So this is this idea that, like, our faith is serious. You know, do we really believe these things that we read in the Bible? Do we come on Sunday mornings and then, you know, when we think about the weight of these things and then we just walk away and we don't think about God until the next Sunday? I was having a conversation with somebody about that this week. Like, you know, where the American church is going, we had this conversation where the Bible sits in our car most of the time, or we don't open up the app, or it's dusty on the shelf. And we'd like to say that's not true, but one of the tools we've given just through our church is the quiet time. So we talk about it every Sunday. We use it as the basis for our Bible study on Wednesday nights. Just to encourage us that there's nothing that if you only came on Sunday mornings, that's the only time you open up the Bible, then I'm not sure much is going to change in your life. Like, there's only so much that I can say. There's only so much, you know, that we can open up in an hour together, and I can't say that that's going to be the thing that's going to change your life. But I can say that if you would spend every day, and for some people that's, oh, every day, if you would spend every day reading God's word, asking him, how is it, God, what's my little piece in this world? How does my little plastic peg fit into the light bright? And how does that reflect into the rest of the world? Then maybe we'd be able to ask this question and go, like, God, I am working at that. I am doing that. I'm pursuing you. And in verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so here's the good news. While we're working this out, we're going, like, God, I do believe, like, help me when I struggle, like, you know, don't allow me to fall into that place of temptation like we looked at today in Proverbs chapter 7. And then we get to this, you know, we're having to go, okay, I'm working this out. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, am I really following the Lord? And then Paul says, for it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Augustine, who is a church father, said this about verse 13. He said, we should not suppose that God has taken away free will. If that were so, he would not have said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then that leads us into this verse where there's a different word for work here. It's the word energio, and it's where we get a word for energy. So what do we do with things that we want to have, you know, power in? We take a flashlight, right? Oh, it needs batteries. So I need to take that, and I need to put a battery in there. Our phase of life, my wife and I's, is little toys all over the place that make various noises, and you know, if you get all of them going at the same time, it's a little too much, right? And then my favorite part about all those toys is when they stop working, and then, you know, the kids come to you and be like, it's dead, it needs more batteries. And I'm like, baby, I'm sorry, dude, no more batteries, right? We'll have to take a break for that toy for a while. But then eventually, you know, they're telling, okay, we'll get batteries, we'll put them back in, and then all of a sudden, it's energized again, right? It's operating. And so Paul used this word here for a reason, both in the, when he says, for it is God who works, and then when it says, and to work for his good pleasure, that's the same word. And he says something interesting, to will for his good pleasure. It's actually the same word, will and good pleasure, is the word thalo in the Greek. And if we could read it in maybe a more literal sense. I think it sounds like this, verse 13, God's energizing us to desire to delight him. And he's giving us that ability to do it. So I know sometimes when we read these things, we're like, man, I don't know that I could ever please God. I don't know that I could ever work hard enough. I don't know that I could ever accomplish enough things to where he'd be like, you know, wow, really excellent job. But that's not what it's about. Paul here is saying to the church, like, work out if you really believe. Are you really pursuing the Lord? Okay, check the box off. Yes, and then how is God going to accomplish those things? Well, he's not like the puppet master making you do all the things, right? But he is going, hey, I'm going to give you the ability to carry out these things that are going to honor me. I'm going to give you the power. What happened in the beginning of the book of Acts? Like, we read the story of the Gospels and we're like, man, the disciples really didn't get it. And then they were all hiding. Like when Jesus went to the cross and he came back and they were still hiding. And as we read through the end of that quiet time in Luke this week, you know, we'll see that like Jesus shows up and they're like terrified. What happened? And he's like, you see the hole? You see the holes in my hands? And you don't believe? Now you can believe, right? And so we get to the book of Acts and then the Holy Spirit comes. And it's like, what happened to everybody? Like they all of a sudden seem like they have confidence. That's because God gave the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us and give us that power, that energio, is what Paul uses there. So he says, stop worrying, stop fretting about how you're going to accomplish this, because God is working in you if you are pursuing him and you belong to him. So that's the first part of this, starting well. You know, if we don't get that right, then we're going to, I think, constantly struggle throughout life and be like, why am I constantly disappointing God, or why can't I do enough good things? And that's not really what it's about. God's not putting on the scale of like, you're not pleasing me. No, he's going like, just walk in the power, right, that I've already given. And so here's the second part of this. So starting well, the second fill in the blank is walking well, right? So how do we do this? You know, we need to consider like partway through the battle or the journey, wherever you're at in life, or if you're struggling and you're like, I just need a little bit of help, and I'm glad that Kristen talked about that today. It's like we come in here and you may only see each other once a week, hopefully not. Maybe you cross paths other places or you communicate throughout the week, but we're here to support and encourage each other. And as we're walking, we're not doing this alone, right? Sometimes we are handing off the baton and it's like, you know, please take it. I need a break, right? But we're doing this together. And there's a way that we're supposed to do this, right? That's supposed to affect change in our lives and others. So for verse 14, I just had this thought, walking well without complaining. And it's really just about evaluating our words, which the Bible would say is an overflow of our hearts. So whatever comes out of our mouth, right? Sometimes not good things. And I'm right there with you. Like there's not a week that goes by that I'm like, why did I say that? You know, why did I do that? And so we're in good company, but then Paul's like going like, really consider, like if you're following God and you're faithful and you've started this thing well, then think about what it's going to look like in its progression. So in verse 14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, man, I don't know if you've ever taken your kids out to a restaurant or you're on the way maybe to a destination, and what's the thing they always keep asking you? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not. This is the 20th time. We're not there yet, right? And so that can turn into grumbling and complaining. Why aren't we there? What is it going to? Well, we think that we're so different than small children, right? But when life starts to press on us, it's really easy. It's really easy to go, well, this isn't working out the way I thought it was. And so, you know, when Paul says that, I don't feel like it applies to my circumstance. You know, it's been a rough week. So he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And he's speaking specifically to the church and how the church operates. He's not going like, it's not okay to have a bad day. You get to the end of some days and you're like, man, I'm glad I get to sleep, because then I can just think about what's going to happen tomorrow. So he's not saying that, but he is saying like, as the church operates and functions, we're not supposed to be these people that are like, you know, constantly grumbling about every little thing, you know, that bothers us, right? We're promoting unity through this positive attitude. So starting well, walking well, and it made me think about a song came out recently, really, really good, entitled Counting My Blessings. The worship team's been working on it a little bit. Maybe they'll debut it sometime in the near future, but I'd love to hear them do the song. It starts out like this. It's like it was yesterday. I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope, and now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. And then the chorus of the song is 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I run out of numbers, before I could thank you for everything. Now, that's perspective, right? And maybe you think, well, it's easy to sing that song when everything's going well. But when it's not, Paul's saying, you can still think that way, right? You can still go, wow, I mean, God's good because of all these other things, right? It's easy to fixate on like the little things or even some of the larger things that, you know, that go wrong for us. But bottom line is it's easy to grumble. And Paul's like, just don't go there. You don't have to go there for a variety of reasons. And then in verse 15, he says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So what's kind of the key to this? Like, you know, I find it hard to, you know, plug my little plastic peg into the light bright of God's goodness and then, you know, shine it out to the rest of the world. And I can't do that perfectly all the time. Well, again, you know, Paul's not saying that, but he's saying, like, what is it supposed to look like to the rest of the world? Well, he says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine like lights in the world. So the rest of the world should be looking and going, like, in a dark, crooked, I mean, it's not hard to see that, right? I mean, in a twisted generation, it's not like, you know, I always read the Bible and I'm going, you know, some people think it's not relevant, but it seems fairly relevant today, doesn't it? So as everything else is going on around us, in a twisted and a crooked world, what do they see? I mean, they should be seeing, wow, I mean, this is, you know, these people are so different. They're shining like stars, the Bible would put it in another way, in a universe. It always amazes me because we moved from Texas and we were living in like inner city Dallas area, and so you just didn't walk outside at night and be like, "Wow, look at the stars," you know. And during the winter it's difficult, but we've had a really pretty nice week this week. So you can go outside and it's like clear, and I'm like, I can see the Big Dipper. Like it's amazingly clear. Like look at all the stars in the universe, and it's like God is allowing us to play this little piece. Like somebody walking out of the city into a rural community and thinking like, wow, I didn't realize how amazing the sky was at night. And this is the way that the world should look at us and think, wow. So Chrysostom, who's another church father, said this about verse 15. He said, do you do something good but grumble about it? Why? Is there any constraint upon you? So he asks us this question, is there this ability for us to actually walk blamelessly and innocently as children of God without blemish? Well, you know, we think, well, not in our own. Well, we can't do that in our own power, but what did Paul just say? He energizes us to be able to do that, right? Verse 16. Because we got to hold on to the truth, right? This is part of it. So how do we walk? Well, walking well throughout the midst of this, Paul says in verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that is in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So how do we do this? Well, what's our ultimate source of truth and authority? We put it on the last t-shirts that we did for our church. I've actually got it back right here. this came out of one of the inserts we had before we did our interior renovation of the church. It's a little piece of glass holding forth the word of life. And this has actually been a slogan of our church for a very long time. It's a good one because it comes from the Bible. We didn't make it up. Philippians 2:16, like we're looking at today. And so I just wanted to show that to you. I'd love to put it up like somewhere else. I don't know, maybe somebody has some giftings like that they could do that. But, you know, we put these reminders up around us for a reason. We forget things, right? You know, we're very fickle. And so as we read this, we're like, oh, of course, holding forth the word of life so that the day of Christ I may be proud that I didn't run in vain, labor in vain. So why are we here? I mean, why are we doing this? It's certainly not about our own opinions, right? Because those aren't good for much. It's about God's word. Like his words are the ones that matter the most. So why is this verse used as a pillar of doctrine? And I've seen it other places before too. So the word is our ultimate source of objective truth. We look all around us and there's plenty of subjective forms of truth, right? People would say that they have truth. But at the end of the day, it's not really based on anything else other than what the world thinks or opinion. And so you know, we talked about starting well, and how do we do that? That seems pretty clear, like from what the Bible says. And then we walk well, and it's really just going like, it's not about me. Whatever's bothering me today, like it's okay to talk about, but I'm not going to spend all my time grumbling about it. I'm going to be focused on what God has for me. And then verse 16, how do we continue on in this? We're just holding on to God's word. It's like it's not hard. It doesn't have to be left in the car. It doesn't have to be an app on your phone that, by the way, you can go on there and like, look, like what apps am I using? Like it'll pop up suggestions. And if it's like pops up Bible app, you know, whatever your Bible app is or the quiet time, you know, that happens to me in the morning sometimes. And I'm like, oh yeah, because my phone is a device that looks at what I'm doing all the time on it. And it goes, hey, you probably should do this now. And I'm like, thank you, phone, you know, for bringing that up. Because sometimes we just need those reminders, but the rest of the world should be looking at us too and going like, that's the guy who knows the Bible. That's the person who has a relationship with Jesus. And it shouldn't be a surprise, right? It shouldn't have to be something somebody's like, you should read your Bible because that would be important. No, like our phones, like the world is going that, like, they are plugged in to that light, right, of God's goodness and his energy and his power. And so we'll close with this, ending well. We'll end with this, ending well, right? It's only been 21 minutes. Can you believe that? We had 3 points. You're like, I didn't think it was possible. It is, okay? So verse 17, if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. So while Paul didn't know specifically when the end was and when he's writing to the church in Philippi from his Roman house arrest, he's like, it could go bad. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to get let go for a time, and he does. But a few years later, he ends up back in Roman imprisonment in a dungeon, basically awaiting execution. And so not a lot of time is going to pass between this. And so he's writing from this perspective of going, if my life, because again, from the beginning of this book of the Bible, he's saying like everything's about God's glory. And I'm here to help other people become closer to God. So if I get poured out in the process, if I get to the end of my life and I'm like, man, the end is near. I'm tired. You know, did I run? Did I labor in vain? He asks of the church. And the hope would be not, because then he says, if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. And Paul's going to keep saying, he's like, take joy, rejoice in the Lord, and regardless of what's going on in your life, because we've got this central purpose that at the end we're able to go, wow, this was all for something, right? And so there's this right perspective leading towards the end. And then in verse 18, it says, likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So life lived well, a life focused on God, serving him should be something that we take joy in, right? You know, as we're doing this together, we're all different phases, by the way. And so I love what we're doing today because we're honoring our seniors. You know, we're going down, we're having a little luncheon for them, and we're celebrating that. Why? Because it's important, the perspective that's given in life. Like what 1 Timothy says in chapter 5, it's like, you know, we need to give a right and good honor to those who are older and wiser and have done a little bit more life and hopefully done that following God. And we can look at that and be like, you know, Paul's like, why wouldn't we take joy in that? Why wouldn't we go, God, make me like that. Allow me to walk in wisdom and confidence in you. And so there's just a few observations before I close that I want us to remember three things on ending well. And we can even just use this every single day. It's not like, you know, when I finally get, you know, closer to being in heaven, you know, with God. This is like every day we can look at these things and go, did I start well? Am I walking well today? And could I end the day saying like, man, I did some of these things and I know that I trusted in God to give me the power to do that. So the first thing is our personal growth and obedience to God. Like this is one of the things that he gives us the power to do. So we're growing with him daily. And the second thing is to see the encouragement of others. Like what Kristen said, like why are we coming here? Like, is it like, here's some good music? It's good, by the way. Or is it to like, here's some words about God? Okay, hopefully that's decent, right? Or is it to hear somebody else talk? Or is it to hear, you know, a prayer or like some good, you know, piano interludes? Well, that's a part of our services. But at the end of the day, what's the purpose? Well, one of the things is to encourage each other. Like we walk in here and we're like, you know, do we immediately start grumbling about our day or our week? Well, we can share our concerns, but one of the things we do is like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. You know, man, I know something good's going to happen today. I can't believe, you know, we get to be together and grow together, because some people around the world don't get to do that, right? So we get this perspective. And the third thing is that we can find our joy and gladness really anywhere we go, because if we're pursuing God, then he's going to give us that ability. And so I want to close just in reflection of somebody who I know is important to our whole church, Esther Johnson. I thought a lot about her in the last year. I've been gone a little over a year. And it always seems like I spend more time with people towards the end of their lives. Just one of my responsibilities, the pastor, is to visit and to spend time. And when people are having a struggle or a hard time or a health issue or in the hospital or in rehab, I found myself almost every week about probably 2 months before she passed, hanging out with her. And and I afterwards, I thought, wow, well, that was such a great opportunity, because every time I sat down with her, I said, Esther, how's your day going, or whatever's going on? And, you know, obviously it's been a struggle lately. And she would ask me questions about the church, like, well, you know, what is God doing? You know, how can I be praying? Like, you know, here's what God's teaching me. And I'm like, you know, if that age God's still teaching that stuff, then man, I mean, like, how much further do we have to go? And to have that kind of perspective, just it always rubbed off on me that, man, whatever our circumstances, we can look at this and go, did I start well today? Did I walk well? And am I walking in this perspective that I also want to end things well? Whether it's the end of the day or end of our lives, there's going to be this question here that we're going to think about. And did we really walk in this way, like what Paul says when he says, likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. I think it's possible. Is it possible through our own ability, through our own perspective or personalities? No, it's possible through God's power, which he supplies in abundance, by the way. And all we have to do is go, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that today. So maybe you're here today, though, and you know, you're reading through this, and you're like, light brights, and you know, God's power, the Holy Spirit. I don't get that. And so, you know, if that's you, and you're just like, I'm just looking to make a decision today. Maybe you just need to put your faith and trust in God for the first time. And what we believe is that if you admit you're a sinner, believe in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and then confess with your mouth that he's the Lord of your life, the Scriptures tell us that you'll be saved. And so, when we read the first part of chapter 2. Verse 12 of chapter 2, and Paul saying, work out your faith with fear and trembling. We can easily answer that question and go, yeah, I remember that time when I made that decision, and I was in First Baptist Church of Elba, and that's luckily many people's stories over the years. And so I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to close in prayer, but if that's you, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'll pray, and then we'll have just a short time where we can visit, and I want to come back up for a few minutes and just share a few updates on some facilities things, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this time and for your word and how it instructs us and teaches us more than, you know, we could possibly imagine. We just thank you that, God, all we're doing is really just reflecting your light. God, like a simple toy, God, we can be plugged in to your glory. Through knowing you personally, through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so we just pray that that could be, you know, our story today. If it hasn't been up until this point, that we'd maybe make a first-time decision to do that. God, maybe we've been doing this thing, life, for a while, and it's been difficult, and it's been, maybe we found ourselves just more in a place of grumbling and unhappiness and lack of joy. And so, God, I just pray that today, you know, if that's us, then maybe we could just turn that corner of seeing God, your perspective and your glory that can be reflected in our lives, and that ultimately, at the end of the day, God, we can be so grateful. We can find our hope in you. We can ultimately hold on to the truth of your word, which we know holds everything else up anyway. We don't have to do it on our own. God, again, we're just this reflection of your glory. God, we're thankful that that light came into the world, and like what the beginning of the Gospel of John says, that that light has not overcome the darkness, and it won't. Thankful that we get to just walk in that and do life together. And it's your name we pray. Amen.